The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Really warm welcome again. And some of you who don't know, I'm Diana Clark. I'm sitting in for Gil this morning while he's having cataract surgery. I know he's planning to be here tomorrow. We'll see what actually happens. So maybe we can all send some good wishes to Gil this morning. So I wanted to talk a little bit about cultivating compassion. As I said at the very beginning of the guided meditation, for me, it feels like such a remarkable thing that we don't have to be satisfied with our factory setting, so to speak, with the way that we, our heart opens or has room for or meets difficulties. But instead we can cultivate, we can practice, we can develop compassion. It's a remarkable thing. I think sometimes we underestimate the transformation that is possible with some practice. And certainly the Buddha recognized this with mindfulness practice, with all these practices, right? With concentration practices, the Eightfold Path, and certainly with the Brahma-Vihara practices. They do make a difference, and they can be transformational in the same way that all other things that we learn can have an influence on us, and that is drop by drop into the water jug is drop by drop into the jug is the, how is how the water jug is filled, or something like that. So each moment in which we spend time cultivating has an effect, even though we might not see it at that time, and certainly during meditation, just because we're creating the conditions in which compassion, or indeed loving-kindness, any Brahma-Vihara might arise, doesn't mean that it is going to arise. We're just putting the conditions in place. So often the impact or the effects of Brahma-Vihara practice isn't felt or seen on the cushion, like during the meditation, but it shows up in our daily life as a way that slowly our default reaction to difficulties or different situations that we find ourselves in just starts to be one more and more of warmth and care. So I just want to offer this, that even though the meditation practice is certainly contrived, but it's a purposeful way in which we can develop loving kindness and compassion, any of the Brahma-Viharas. And even though it might feel like, well, nothing's really happening during this meditation period, don't think that this isn't having an effect, that it isn't, you know, creating the conditions for changes. Certainly that's been the case for me. I'll just share that since doing some regular Brahma-Vihara practice, loving kindness and compassion, equanimity and sympathetic joy, I've noticed that I'm more often saying warm-hearted or funny things to myself when I notice that I'm making mistakes or I forget something. Whereas before, there used to be like a tone of little bit of disappointment or even some meanness. Now there's some tenderness in this little inner voice when it speaks to myself. Oh, Diana, it's okay. It's quite something. So When Gail earlier this week talked about compassion, yesterday specifically, he spoke about it having different elements. It is a contact with suffering, caring about the suffering, and being motivated to do something about the suffering. So these different elements all come together, and different strengths, at different times there's different emphases. But I appreciate something very much that Jill Shepherd, a really great Dharma teacher, has said, that she said that compassion is the love child of metta and dukkha. That is, compassion is what arises, what is born out of when this warm-heartedness meets difficulties, or someone else having difficulties, or ourselves having difficulties. So I like this idea of karuna, compassion, being the love child of metta and dukkha. So I wanted to read just a short little excerpt from the suttas that talks about the expressing compassion, and one way that the Buddha described it showing up in the world. And this is an excerpt, and the Buddha says, "There are some who have given up," and then there's this long list of things that aren't so helpful. So this long list includes covetousness, ill will, irritability, hostility, offensiveness, contempt, jealousy, stinginess, deviousness, deceit, unhelpful desires, and wrong view. It's a really long list. So there are some who have given these up, and the Buddha continues, and when they have given these up, they are practicing the way that is proper for someone who is a practitioner, who is a follower of his. And then he goes on and he says, and when they see themselves cleansed or abandoned these unskillful qualities, these unwholesome qualities, gladness springs up. There's a certain amount of gladness, like, oh, I don't have all those qualities anymore. And then when gladness arises, then joy arises. And then when joy arises, tranquility arises. And then when tranquility arises, happiness arises. And then when happiness arises, concentration arises. And then with concentration, then the person does loving kindness practice. And they meditate, spreading a heart full of love to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth direction. We might say this to the east, to the south, to the west, to the north. And in the same way, above, below, across, everywhere, and all around, they spread a heart full of love to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. I'll just say briefly, some of you may recognize that little sequence of getting rid of things that are unwholesome or unhelpful, and then it goes into gladness, joy, tranquility, happiness, and concentration. You might recognize this as what Gil was calling Dharma Samadhi, or Samadhi Dharma, Dharma Samadhi, I think. And he did a number of 7 a.m. talks on this, so kind of like connecting that this Brahma Vihara practice. But then this teaching goes on from the Buddha. So after having some concentration and then spreading loving kindness, and then the teaching goes on to say, and they meditate spreading a heart full of compassion in one direction, second direction, third direction, the fourth direction. And in the exact same way that it said about loving kindness, then it goes to compassion. So we can maybe like translate the sutta, kind of like operationalize it, if you will. We can think about it as First, to let go of what gets in the way of compassion. In order, as part of the way to cultivate is to, as best we can. So some ways that things that might get in the way of cultivating and practicing with compassion is having fear that we might be too overwhelmed when we meet the suffering. Remember that compassion is when loving kindness, this warmth, meets difficulties. And then there's this compassion, this tenderness that just naturally arises. But it's, of course, we might have some hesitation, we might have some reluctance initially to kind of like really meet the suffering. After all, we're hardwired to avoid it, to meet difficulties. So it's natural, and sometimes it's appropriate. Maybe it's not time for us to touch into the suffering of a lovable being or of our own, or maybe we just don't quite have the steadiness to meet the suffering of others. So part of the way we can practice with this is to cultivate some mindfulness and some clear seeing so that we can first recognize whether our hesitation is just a knee-jerk reaction towards fear, and or to recognize it's just a natural hesitation, as well as some mindfulness, some stability of mind and being present for what's happening can help us to become familiar with our own suffering. Because often what happens when we meet the suffering of others is the unfinished business of our own hearts, to use an expression that Jack Kornfield uses, the unfinished business of our hearts gets activated when we meet the suffering of others. So maybe it's worthwhile to spend some time working with our own suffering that to increase our capacity, as well as to gain some familiarity. When is our little bit of hesitation of meeting the suffering? When is it just a natural reaction, or when is it some real wisdom saying, now's not the time? So we can spend some time with mindfulness practice and maybe getting some stability of mind, like we did in the guided meditation and like in the sutta. If we use this word, concentration, samadhi, can also be translated as collectedness or some non-distraction or sense of wholeness or integrity. In some ways, it might be like putting in place a keel in the sailboat, that is, you know, that big long piece that's at the bottom of the sailboat that helps prevent it from getting tipped over when it hits maybe the winds of some suffering. This is one way how we can begin our practice and to work with some of the difficulties we might have. And then we might like warm the heart. Maybe we might imagine putting on, having some kindling and lighting the kindling. Maybe even sometimes it's paper things that can catch a flame quickly and easily. So we do some loving kindness practice, again, starting where it's easy. And allowing the heart to feel warm. And maybe the coziness of sitting in front of some crackling flames in a nice way, in a really nice way. And then we can imagine some difficulties that the lovable being is having. And then allowing the warmth that is already there to be transformed into some tenderness and some care, and some able to connect with the suffering, to care about it, and to have a willingness to do something about the suffering. And recognizing that at the moment we're sitting in meditation doesn't mean we're going to get up from our meditation and go fix things. But to recognize that sincere wish for the suffering to end. And we can do this, as I said, in the guided meditation, just using our imagination and tuning into the connection, that we are having with a lovable being and a lovable being that's having difficulties, and just radiate compassion. That's what's in the suttas. And then a later adaptation is to include the phrases, which is very common today, and I often am using phrases. Sometimes I'm just doing radiating. Maybe it's can play and experiment with different ways. And phrases that might be helpful to use is, may you be free from suffering. May you know peace. And you might have your own versions of that. So, some way in which we can practice compassion, cultivate it, develop it, by purposefully bringing it into our meditation practice, which will help us meet it, or bring compassion when we meet difficulties in the world, either in ourselves or others. So I'm wishing you freedom from suffering, freedom from difficulties. But if you find that they do arise, may you have some warmth and tenderness and care for yourself, compassion for yourself. And may our care, connection, compassion for ourselves and for others, may that benefit all beings everywhere. Thank you.